Well, this is my last sermon for 2023, possibly in this church as well. It's kind of funny when I meet people and they know Pastor Sam, they said, "Wow, you have a new role, pastor's poachers." So, the poaching of pastors. And I said, "I didn't hire him. I did recommend him, but I didn't hire him. UGM hired him." But the thing about Pastor Sam is that it's kind of eerie because he lives just across the highway from me. That's eerie. You know, I mean, just think about it. If the pastor of your church lived right across the street from you, how would you think, you know? And I just moved. Like we just moved from Walnut Grove, which is North Langley, and we moved to another godly place called Fort Langley. So we didn't move far enough away from Sam, so he's still hanging around. And he knows we have a jacuzzi and a wellness pool in our house now. And again, we didn't buy this house. My son, in his wisdom, bought it all. So Pastor Sam is always saying, "We should meet next week." I said, "Why?" "Because we should meet next week." Now, if you've been to Fort Langley, this is the new trend. You know, Starbucks was big, right? And they had this coffee, and then now came along Tim Hortons. And have you ever been to Fort Langley? There's places called Blacksmith. Have you ever heard that? "Oh, look at the sister back there." "Well, yeah." You know? And then there's Wendell's. Have you ever heard of Wendell's? There's, yeah, she does. Yeah, she's. We need to talk later. And then there's Sabbath's. And all these are sinful places. Because they serve coffee, but they serve pastries like this size. And no one cares how much they cost. People just go in there in hordes. And they line up there and they're fighting to get a croissant or a lemon pastry or whatever. Well, my son, he goes and buys them in bundles and he brings them home. So Pastor Sam comes and says, "We should go have lunch. We should go have breakfast." "Sure, you know. I'm glad you have a credit card now, Sam, for UGM. Yeah, use it, you know." So he said, "We should meet every week." "Oh, okay." So, to be honest with you, he's my boss. Like, he's my boss. It's really weird, you know? It's just really eerie. Sitting aside in my little place now, we have a little basement suite now. We don't have a house. And he's sitting there smiling at me. "Is this good? Is this great?" You know? I feel like I'm being stalked, you know? But in all seriousness, you know, God has his ways of maneuvering his will and moving people into places that we never expected. And I know you'll miss them, you know, and for all the time you miss them, believe you me, you just believe how I'm feeling. He's going to be always in my house, you know, hanging around. So it's kind of spooky. But again, you know, there's a lot of changes going on at Union Gospel Mission these days. And I just said goodbye to our cook. Some of you know Mike Miller. He served as our cook for 27 years. And last Thursday was his last day. It was quite an emotional day for us. On the 26th of November, I celebrated my 25th year at Union Gospel Mission. So it's been quite a journey, and you know, a lot of things are happening in the organization, which when I began, there was only 60 full-time staff, and now there are nearly 400. So, you know, it reflects the need, but it reflects the ongoing work of the ministry. And it reflects also, this year starts tomorrow. Your new situation here is changing. And Pastor Avery and I become good friends overnight. We met. He was kind enough to come to the U.S. Minister. And we sat, and we're going to be spending some time together this coming year. And I hope that I can be of support to him. So, yeah, I'm also praying 6 months. No way. Who say 6 months? I mean, six. Yeah, I know you do, Tom. We're talking about 6 years at minimum, right? So here we go. I've been in ministry 50 years. So hey, you're just starting. You're just a little baby now. You're just starting out. So that's good. All right, enough of all that craziness, you know. I know, and thank you, Josh, for allowing us to worship God with these choruses and hymns we've known for years. And my challenge to you this morning is very simple. You're going to hear the same theme, the same message, and that's already sitting right up on that screen there. But you need to understand, and I need to understand, that from the very inception of time, as you read that text even, everything that was in that text about the birth of Jesus, there was one theme. that in the whole process of God coming to our planet as a baby, God has said, we're going to call him Emmanuel because it's God with us. So my challenge is, in 2024, will God be with you? Will he be with you? To know that God is with you is the greatest blessing that there is. Remember in the book of Genesis, God said it's not good for man, and I guess we say women, to not be alone. That Bible verse has been used in weddings, right? You know, guy, you know, you're single and now you're getting married and now you're no longer alone. That's fine, but that verse is about community. That verse is about the community and fellowship and relationship that God says, I want to have with you. And from day one with Adam and Eve, that was the message he gave to them, was that I am with you. And they, just like you and me, ended up broken. But God said, I will be with you. Remember the Great Commission? I will always be with you. Man, after 7 months of moving from a house in Walnut Grove to a place in Fort Langley to be with our son and his family, God has had to be with us. I have never experienced such stress in a long time. I've never experienced such pain lifting furniture from one room to another and planning to move. And I think Abraham had it good. I mean, when God told him to get up and leave with his family, I think it went pretty well. But boy, for us, and it reminded me, this is just a practical, down-to-earth example of God says, call him Emmanuel. God is with us. And as a church, your blessing will be because God has been with you. Not because of what you're going to do, but because the presence of God is in the hearts of the people that sit here and will be sitting here in the new year. It's not about this building. It's about, is God in the hearts of the people that he says he calls you his church? That's what makes the difference. We read in the scriptures, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Translated means God with us. And if you ever take a study of this wonderful text, in the many translations of scripture that there are, in Matthew chapter 1, you'll see these words capitalized or in quotation marks. That is because most of these words are a quote from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And as you begin your study with this wonderful reading the Bible through the year that John Stott has kind of put together to guide us through, you're going to see a wonderful truth of how God has been with us from the very beginning, and that he's fulfilling the plan that he's had from eternity. He's got it. He's got your back. He's got your church. He's got your life. You just need to understand and respond to him in that way, that I claim that Jesus Christ is with me. I want to share with you three things. First thing is that Emmanuel, God is with us in our world today. He has not turned against us. He's not out to destroy us. He wants to save us. He came to us that day in Bethlehem because he is still working with us. He still has a plan for us because Jesus is Emmanuel. In Genesis chapter 6, God saw all the evil of mankind in the early days of creation. And in one of the most revealing and condemning verses in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Evil continually. It's quite a convincing description of what's happening today. Every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And as a result, God judged the world and destroyed most of mankind through the flood. But since then, we haven't learned too much. What have we had? Still more wars, more immorality, more perversion, and increasing evil. Is God then against us? No, He's not against us. He came to this earth personally in Jesus to save us. He is God with us. John chapter 3, verse 17. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. God wants to save mankind, and He still has a plan for humanity. He is still with us, and He has a plan to save us. And if you study the passage in Isaiah chapter 7, that's read quite regularly, preached quite regularly during Christmas, that's where this quote comes from, you can see this history behind this. And it's quite simple. Two kings had invaded the land of Judah. We always have fights with people, right, in power. And the king of Judah, or so the king of Israel, was a man named Ahaz. And the hearts of his people, when they were in the middle of all this craziness and chaos, it says the scriptures tell us that the people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. They were terrified. One of the things I've learned a lot about life in my short time on this planet is the fact that we are people that are often fear-driven, not necessarily faith-driven. We are often scared and terrified, and the way we respond or react to it is we turn our heads and say, I don't see it, I deny it, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm not an anxious person. I meet anxious people every day of my life, and there are many moments that this guy here is very scared. Because life doesn't do me always the favors that I would like it to do for me. But what does God say to me? I'm with you. So the question is, do I believe that? Am I a believer or am I just a bleeder? You know, do I believe or bleed? God told Ahaz through Isaiah, the prophet, don't be faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoldering hotheads. We get a lot of hotheads in our world today, don't we? God told Ahaz he has a plan, and there would be a virgin, and there would be a child named Emmanuel, God with us. And by the time this little child grew up as a real human, started to learn about evil and how to refuse it and to choose good, the lands of these kings would be forsaken, drawing them again to meet the Savior called Emmanuel. The same thing is true today, isn't it not? Man, I've heard several people already talk about this week, commenting on how much turmoil there is in the world. Tom drew it to our attention in his good prayer, nationally, internationally. And let us not forget the unrest there is here locally. I had to make a journey. I wasn't looking forward to it, but my wife, being the queen of our home, Auntie Jean, she said, you need to go to Home Depot. I said, why? She says, we need this and this and this. I said, oh, okay. So I dropped her off at work yesterday, and I went to the Home Depot in Langley, expecting that I would have to have my boxing gloves and my credit card ready to smack people over their heads just because, you know, it's after Christmas kind of thing, right? So went in there, and one of the staff members said, oh, good morning. You're the third person in this building today. I'm saying, what do you mean by that? I said, we have more staff in this building right now than we have customers. I said, oh, what's happened? People have spent themselves out. They are broke, and they are scared, and they don't want to come here. And I said, oh, I guess I'm not scared or broke, and I'm here I'm with my credit card. And I started to have fear, going, I might be here. It looks like I'm not scared. It looks like I'm not broke, but that's why you have a credit card. So you show up, and you're wandering around the aisles, and it's scary. I've never been to Home Depot where everybody wants to help you. You know, anyone wearing orange, everybody wearing orange says, can I help you? And the other guy's pushing him out of the way, said, I'll help you. And I'm going, we don't want to have a war in Home Depot, do we, folks? There's too many tools to hurt each other with here. You know, just chill out. And I said, no, I don't want any of your help. So I thought I'd get real cheeky. I said, you know why? They said, why? Emmanuel, because God is with me. And they just walked away. Then I was in. Secondly, Emmanuel, God is not just here in the world with us, but he's with us literally. Oh, that is such a pleasure to know. Hope. Not only was the coming of this Emmanuel baby symbolic of how God is with us in this world, but he was also literally true. God was literally with us when Jesus came to earth. This was not just a baby who was born in a place called Bethlehem. This was God. Philippians chapter 2 reminds us of this Jesus who is equal with God in heaven, who emptied himself to come to earth. If you read that text, it blows your mind that Jesus came as a baby but was equal. But he emptied himself. He made a decision. He did some action. He gave. You know, John 3:16 is the first verse I ever learned before I became a Christian, that was the verse that told me what true love was, that God gave. In John chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He's the exact representation of his nature. If you want to know if God controls the weather, just watch Jesus calm the storm of the sea. If you want to know if God is stronger than demonic powers, watch the demons fall at Jesus' feet and beg to be cast into the pigs. Jesus is God come to earth. And if you want to know what God thinks about something, see what Jesus said about it. If you want to know what God really says, it says it takes to get to heaven, just listen to Jesus tell a very religious man in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You want to know whether God would send anybody to hell? Listen to Jesus in Matthew 10:28. He says, to fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. You want to know what God thinks about marriage? Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 19. He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. What does God think about the holiness of his church? Just watch Jesus turn over tables and clear the compromisers of his temple with a whip. You know, the church is not the Christian marketplace. You want to know what God thinks about our busyness? Just listen to Jesus tell Martha that all her chores weren't the most important thing, but just sitting at his feet was. And if you want to know how seriously God takes sin, just look at Jesus. God, Emmanuel, who took it seriously enough to be tortured and die on the cross, paying for our sins on his body. And if you want to know if he will really forgive you, then hear him tell the adulterous woman, neither do I condemn you, now go and sin no more. And if you want to know God, look to Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. God literally, physically came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. God has been with us in our journey right from the beginning of time. But are we aware of his presence with us? Are we interested in him? Are we interested in accepting this journey that he's given us? We have shown him, generally speaking, as a world, we're not interested. And yet we have Christmas, and we have Easter, and we have Thanksgiving, and we have found all these neat little substitutes to make us feel good about us, right? You know, we make the turkey the idol of October. You know, we make Easter, the Easter rabbit, the idol of, you know, rabbits and chocolate, particularly, you know the one that has the Nestle's company. We've in the Christmas, what do? We've made the Christmas tree, and all the supermarkets and all the big box retail stores, the place that we hang out. And tonight, New Year's Eve, the pubs will be full. And I trust that many of our families will be in homes together too, if that's what we need to do. But we have we forgotten who is with us? Because starting tomorrow, everyone will forget all that for last year, and we will try to do what we've done the last number of years the same way, and that is to find meaning in life again. The wars don't stop. The prejudice and the racism doesn't stop. People going to church doesn't stop either. But let me just say one more thing. God can be with us, Emmanuel, personally. Even more than that, when we receive Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior, then God is with us. Jesus is literally in us when we are saved. That's what makes you so special. That's what makes you so powerful. That's what makes you so influential and purposeful. Because when you walk into the life of another individual, God starts to turn the power on and other people start to look. If they don't accept it, don't get discouraged. If they don't want to hear it, don't get discouraged. It's not your problem. It's their problem. But you have a responsibility to do it in any way you know how, to let people know that there's a God who's been with us from the beginning of time. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. When I was praying this morning, I was just thinking about my life last year a little bit. And I have to confess, I wasn't feeling great about it because, wow, the few moments that I seemed to shine for Jesus, you know, shine, Jesus, shine, I was not doing well a lot of the times. There are moments, I have dark moments in my life, in my mind, my heart. And I feel like sometimes I'm just so out of touch with what this life's about and what God wants me to do. And you know, that happens a little bit, not because I've been in God's work a long time, but as you get older, you start to, you know, you have to kind of ask yourself a lot of bigger questions, you know? And one of the things I experienced this year was I've got arthritis in my back. I've never had that before. And thinking, why would I have this? And my doctor, of course, being the wise man, he just says, well, you're just getting older. You know, get over yourself. But he also said, you've injured your back many times, refereeing ice hockey, you've banged it around doing this and that. And he said, you know, you're just not 38 anymore, you know? And, you know, if you say you're 38, that means your blood pressure, but it doesn't mean that you're, you know, that's not your age. You know, I'm going to be 68 in 2 months. And so I'm just realizing that, oh, things are going to feel differently. They're going to hurt, you know, and I'm not going to feel good about it up here some days. But still, God is with us. This is the journey. This is the life. This is part of everything that goes on, right? And even having Pastor Sam hang around my house, even though spooky as that is, that's part of life. I wonder if he's watching today. You know, as we think about these things, we understand that God continually is the central core of this whole planet and its existence. And he does not allow chaos to go uncontrolled. Because chaos and confusion is not something he creates. We create that because we're not willing to understand who Emmanuel is. When the angel appeared to Mary that very special day, that story every kid knows, you know. Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. That didn't mean that everything was necessarily going to be easy for Mary. Think about all the things that she would go through. A pregnancy that no one was going to believe or understand. That's a good one, yeah. Fleeing from a foreign country while the king of your land tries to kill you and your son. Several moves from country to country because they were trying to track you down and kill you. Watching your son become a controversial public figure, loved by some, but hated and slandered by many. And then to stand there and watch him be publicly humiliated, mocked, and nailed to that cross and bleed to death there before your own eyes. Sometimes when we talk about the Christmas story, and even to sometimes children, we sometimes do not give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I remember listening to a Sunday school teacher describe the Last Supper to a bunch of children. Now, I don't know how she put this together. I don't want to judge her, but I just found it interesting sitting there that she had this wonderful Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples, and she was able to identify every piece of food there. But it wasn't the kind of food that I thought that I would hear about. You know, she talked about blueberry pie and cranberry, turkey legs, and then she talked about apple pie and meringue and then hot chocolate. And I thought, wow, that's quite the supper for Last Supper, you know. And I think sometimes we get deceived in thinking that we've got to glamorize what happened in a lot of the things that Jesus went through. And how often do we think about Mary, what she went through as a mother? You know, there's no problem in sharing sometimes the realities of some things that the Savior and the family went through, as long as we're very discerning in how we share it. But sometimes we don't tell the truth. We want to make people come to Jesus because we try to do it in such a way that we manipulate their thinking and glamorizing it, you know. Well, just think, you know, hey, Jesus, you're a Christian, you don't get to hang out with a bunch of other people just sitting in a building, you know, and no dirty jokes, swearing, no drinking until they're drunk. You know, wouldn't you like that kind of life, you know? I'm always amazed at what we believe Christmas is and what we tell people it is, because we want them to believe in God. Well, they're not going to believe in God because you glamorize it. They're going to believe in God because God puts his hand on their life and convicts them. You can't change people's lives. The only thing you can change is your socks and underwear. But you can't change them. But we have a responsibility to be open and to be in a way that we can share truth in a loving way. Do you hear me? A loving way. At UGM, we are always challenged. We do not Bible thump anybody because that doesn't bring people to the cross. What it does is it makes people push away from the cross because they need to know that we care about them. God is with us. That means that God is right there with you every day of your life if you are truly saved. That has huge implications for us if God is with us. See, we don't have to ask him to be with us. He's here now. We don't have to wait to talk to him. He's here to talk to us. We don't have to hope he might speak to us. He will speak to us through his word if we read it and let him speak to us through the Spirit of God. The problem is that too many people assume that God is with them without the benefit of really having a personal relationship with Jesus in their life. Most people, though, have religion, which leads them to believe it's enough to have spiritual lip service. You can't just assume that God is with you. The Word of God clearly states that we have all sinned against God. That means we have offended God, driven him away by our sin. You and I have to do something about our sin to get God to be back with us and in us. That something is acknowledging that we are separated from him and that we need to ask him to be forgiven, receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When you have him as your Savior, then his Holy Spirit comes into your heart and God is with you. But if you don't have him as your Lord and Savior in your life, then God is not with you and God is not in you. You must have Jesus to have God with you. Hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of people are in a place called a church today. Even Satan has his own church. But that doesn't mean anything unless it's Jesus, Emmanuel. Maybe you need to do that same thing today. Is God with you? Is he in you? Or do you just have religion? Playing church may impress a lot of those who also choose to sit on the fence of spirituality. But it does not include having God walk with you in your daily journey of life. God can be in you and with you. For that is what Jesus came to earth, to be God with us. But you've got to make sure that you have really received him and that he really is God with you in your own life. I'm always grateful that it's never too late. As long as I'm living and breathing, any individual can receive Jesus. And in, after a quarter of a century of sitting and working and watching with people that are I'm hurting. I have a new role with the mission, and that is they give me this fancy little title called Senior Advisor Church Relations. That basically just means that I kind of shift from the people that I've worked with on the street to sharing about that with people that are sitting in the pews and seats in churches and pastors' offices. And I don't go telling them what they don't know. I don't come to this church to tell you what you should do. That would be pretty stupid to do. But I go just to walk alongside and say, can we help you? Is there something you need to know? Is there something that you can tell me that I don't know? And there's a lot I don't know. But is there, you know, it's just this whole thing of allowing God to be with me in my journey, in the life that I live, just as He is in you and with you in your journey of life. How you reach the people that you reach, I can't, because I don't know them and I don't have a relationship with them. And the same goes both ways, right? So we all have to do our thing, and that's all we got to do, is making sure that we do our thing, because Emmanuel, God is with us. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for the many years of ministry and the anticipation of many more. Thank you for Pastor Avery coming on to help with the English ministry. Thank you for the journey of through the scriptures, guided by a friend of ours, John Stott. And also all the things that this church are going to intentionally do to tell people that Emmanuel, God, is with us and is here today. Help us, Lord, to keep in context what we're about. The church is not this building. We are His church. So let us be the church and not just do church. Thank you, Lord, for, again, allowing me just an opportunity undeserved to sit here and to share the wonderful Word of God. And I just thank you so much for their support, their love, and continually blessing in even my life and my family's life. But Lord, as we move forward as a church with new changes coming on, thank you, Jesus, that you've asked us and reminded us you'll always be with us. Emmanuel. Amen.